Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. We now stand 10 years past the midpoint of a century that has witnessed four major wars among great nations. Until the latest of our world conflicts, the United States had no armaments industry. American makers of plowshares could, with time and as required, make swords as well. But we can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. Now, this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is new in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every office of the federal government. We recognize the imperative need for this development, yet we must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
April, May, the spring feast. These
next feast, when Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom, will be all in the fall. And any way you put it, the tribulation period will start September, October. Now, I'm not saying this year, but I'm saying that whatever year it starts, it's going to start in September or October. It's almost a give me. Now, no man knows today and hour, but I can tell you what month it's going to start. I don't know particularly 100% what year. I know we're close. I don't believe we're 5 years off. I don't believe we're four. Three is too much. Now, I know people listen to my show on archives, and you might get scared off if you love this present world. If you love this world, folks, you're not going to listen to my archives. If you're curious, you may listen to it, even if you love the world. Now, Christians have a good time in the world, but that doesn't mean you have to love the world. Who do you truly love? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it the world? Okay? So, the reason why I brought all of this up is the Feast of Trumpets is coming up. And every year we should look, even as Christians, at the Feast of Trumpets. Now, it has no bearing on our salvation, and I'm not saying you have to do this. There's nowhere in the Bible saying you have to, but it's kind of interesting. Now, I'm going to give y'all something that you can run with it, or it's not ironclad, it's not the gospel, it's not, well, it's the gospel, it's part of the gospel, but you know what I mean. What I'm saying is you can't make a doctrine out of it. But anytime Rosh Hashanah happens on the calendar, if it's this year, next year, or the year after next, when you see war right before Rosh Hashanah, it could be, I'm saying it could be the opening of the final chapter in history. Or what I mean by the end time events could be opening up. So, for instance, Rosh Hashanah is Saturday, Sunday, I think, Saturday and Sunday. And it could possibly be Monday. Like I said, it's a 2-day event. Rosh Hashanah is the blowing of the trumpet, the shofar. Now, if you read the book of Joel, it talks about blowing a trumpet, sounding an alarm. And this alarm is to warn the people that of a pending attack or a pending something's coming. And that also means that it's a call to war or a call to defense. Rosh Hashanah also means that the king will be crowned. It also means the Supper of the Lamb, or not Marriage of the Lamb, but the king's coronation. Also, the king is given a dinner, so it's a sound alarm for the true king, the Messiah. Of course, if you go to Revelation, you see the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. It's also to conceal his bride, or to call out his bride. Now, I'm not saying this weekend could, I'm saying it could. Like I said on the last show, let's be careful how you interpret my words. Because I think American society, and maybe the world in general, has gotten away from the true English language. We even left our own language. Because if I say, remember Bill Clinton said, what is, that I don't, you know, that doesn't interpretate the what is. I mean, how can you change is? Well, to suit his political agenda or his his activities in the judicial system, he wants to change the word is to something else, its meaning. Now, if I say the Pittsburgh Steelers could win the Super Bowl again, you should not come up to me after the day of the Super Bowl and say, you said that they were going to win. I said that they could win. right? Now, if I say, if such and such happened, then this could be the result. Can you hold me to what I'm? No. If I say, if it rains tomorrow, we may not go fishing. And then we end up going fishing, you come to me and say, well, you said we weren't going to go fishing today. I said, if it rains, we may not go fishing. And I peeped this out the last couple of years in the English language, that you have to be careful, even when you're saying the right thing. You have to express the fact that this is what I'm actually saying. It could happen. Jesus Christ could have came back 5 years ago. Could have. Am I saying he could? Of course, I know he didn't come back 5 years ago. Okay? So I have to express that before I go on. Okay. So what I'm saying is, I believe, this is just me, this is not a new doctrine, and it should not be taken as a new doctrine, but the Bible may teach it. So when we get to heaven, we're going to find out, oh yeah, I was trying to tell y'all, no man knows the day and hour. The Jewish feast is called, no man knows the day and hour. So when Jesus was talking to the Jewish people, notice the church wasn't here in Matthew 24. The church didn't appear until Acts. So when Jesus was saying to the church, to his disciples, no man knows the day and hour, he was talking to a bunch of Jewish people, right? So he was saying, no one knows the day and hour but my Father only. Now, if you go back, when Abraham sent Eliezer out to get Isaac a wife, and he says, well, let the lady that comes to the well be, and ask me, do I want to feed my animals also, be that person. Well, Eliezer, I said, okay, fine. So this is his wife. This lady would be his wife. Now, we didn't see this part because the Bible didn't write it, but it's in the Jewish tradition that Eliezer would go to the father first, place the diary in his hand, say, my son will be back for your daughter at such and such a time. Then he'll come back to the house and say, I found your son a daughter. Okay, fine. Oh, a wife, excuse me. Fine, that's good. So I'll come back. Isaac will come back at an appointed time to get Rachel. Was it Rebecca? One of the two. I always get those names mixed up. So, the Jewish feast, no man knows the day and hour, the Feast of Trumpets. So I'm not saying this 100%, and I'm not making a new doctrine, but I'm saying it's a 2009, 10, 11. It's not going to surely go to 2012 crap. After we got done with Y2K, we should have learned. You figure we should have learned. But we didn't. Including me, I'm going to put myself in there too. We should have learned something. When we think God is coming back, he says, I'll come back at this hour if you think not. Maybe Rosh Hashanah is the time that we think not. Now, the president of the prime minister of Israel was in Russia secretly. And some people are saying that it's a possibility that it's a good possibility that Israel may hit Iran. Now, I have an article here. It says Iran war drum beginning to beat in Washington. Now, it says, as nuclear negotiations between Israel and the West continues to move slowly, the U.S. President Barack Obama is coming under growing pressure from what appears to be a concentrated lobbying and media campaign urging him to act more aggressively to stop Iran's nuclear program. Obama has given Tehran at the end of September deadline to respond substantially to his offer. Now, what do you think? One of these days, Israel's going to say, forget America. We keep saying, Israel, America is going to leave Israel. One of these days, we're going to say, Israel's going to say, they're going to, you know, forget America. When is this coming? Could this be coming pretty soon? It's funny how he went over to visit the Russian prime minister and tell him that they're finna attack. Okay. Now, what does Vladimir Putin say? And I have an article here. Putin warns against Iran attack. Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin has warned against military action targeting Iran and opposing new sanctions to curb its nuclear program. Iran's latest proposal on its nuclear ambitions have brought diverging views from U.S. and Russia. Earlier, a U.S. official told the BBC that Washington was unhappy with the proposal submitted on Wednesday. Correspondents are parties involved are make and parties involved say are making their position clear. Sorry about that. At the UN General this month. I just butchered that. So Putin is warning Israel against any military action. Now, doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't Ezekiel 38 and 39 just rain out at you? Didn't Ezekiel 38 and 39 say that Russia will be with Iran and many with them, but they are coming as a guard to those who they are with? So if they are with Iran, wouldn't they be, isn't Vladimir Putin saying, I'm warning you against any attacks against Iran? Isn't that what he's saying? Isn't that raining clearly? Now, if Rosh Hashanah was the time period, I'm just making a guess. Just use the word if. Write it on a piece of paper and circle it. I'm saying if. The true meaning of the word if. If the war breaks out between now and Friday, I'm not saying it is. It can happen next year, same time Rosh Hashanah. Then it can happen the next year. Just look on your calendar. Go on a search engine and punch in Jewish holidays. I'm telling you, folks, now I'm telling you it will be. If it happens on Rosh Hashanah, which I'm thinking it will, just like it happened, just like Jesus was hung on the cross on Passover, rose from the dead on unleavened bread, he was buried on unleavened bread, rose from the dead on first fruits, and the church was formed on Pentecost, exactly to the date. He's going to perform the rest of the three just like that. Okay, so I'm taking it the rapture of the church will be a two-day event, so no man knows the day and hour. Now, think about this. Okay, right now I'm on the Pacific Standard Time, and you're probably in a different time zone. Now, it's still Sunday to me. Now, the people on the East Coast, it's Monday. Monday morning, but it's still Monday. The people, truck drivers know this is Monday. Okay? The people who are delivering money to banks right now, they know it's Monday. The people working in the hospital, they know it's Monday on the East Coast. Now, to me, it is 10:48. Pacific Standard Time, but to somebody in Israel, it's almost heck. It's almost Tuesday. So I'm trying to make a point, or let's just say Asia is almost Tuesday. Well, I'm trying to make a point. I said before us, after us, before. Yeah, we're after them. Okay. So when it's New Year's Eve, when it's New Year's over there, we're still waiting for New Year's in the Pacific, especially if we're waiting on the East Coast. So my point is this, okay? No man knows the day and hour. Russia has like 12 different time zones. So when the rapture takes place in Russia, and it happens on a Saturday, it may happen on a Friday here. No man knows the day and hour. Now the holiday, Rosh Hashanah, year, or the appointed time of God is to feast the trumpets, and that is found in Leviticus 23. That is the holiday that no man knows the day and hour. So when Jesus was talking to the Jewish people, now, I'm not saying we know the day and hour. I have not said we know the day and hour. We don't. I don't even know the day and hour of, the, you know, the next flick that's going to have on History Channel. I don't know the day and hour. I don't even know particularly when I'm sitting here, when does Monday Night Football come on? I don't know particularly. 5:30 Pacific time? I don't know. So there's a lot of things I don't know the day and hour. My son has a football game next week. He told me all the games start at 5, so I know what day and hour. So what I'm telling you is I don't know the day and hour, but I know when it's at the door. So if you know Rosh Hashanah, whatever I can look at the calendar right now. Now this is what I'm 100% sure. This is just me, and I could be wrong. I'm not a prophet. I'm 100% sure. Give me a calendar with the next 10 Rosh Hashanahs on it, and I can guarantee you I could point out, I could mark 5 and be right. Now, do I get the 10 hour right? No, because it's a 2-day event. And no, because there's so many different time zones. Now, what am I talking about? The rapture of the church, when he snatches away his bride, the church. Those who are born again, those who are serving Jesus Christ with all their heart, mind, and soul, those who put him number one, those who have a relationship with him. Do I have one? Excuse me. So, my point is this. If you see a war break out this week sometime, you know, this could be, and the word could, circle that, be the time. Because it can still blow over. Because a lot of things have happened on Jewish holidays, and we're 30 years later. But now is the time. I've never seen so many preachers and teachers and even politicians who are right on schedule, even Gerald Celente. Okay? There are many, many, many many, many, many. Okay, I lost my track here. Hold on for a second. Okay, so let me tell you what I think could happen in the coming days. And I'm using the word could. Okay? I don't even see my switchboard anymore. What happened to it? Sometimes I just am mesmerized about I know sometime when you're doing these radio programs and some of the silliest things happen. If I don't have this crazy caller there, then I have mechanical problems. Now, I'm not saying you're doing God's will because you're having mechanical problems or because somebody's calling in, but sometimes I wonder. Now, I do believe that if this could, I believe either this year, next year, or 2011 is the time. I don't think 2012 we're going to make it that far. Now, we could. We could blow right past 2012, and it could be another Y2K. We could be going for another couple of years, but I don't think so. Okay, I may be wrong. But like I say, this week is an important week because if we can get past, and I don't love this world, so I'd rather be in heaven. Okay, I'd rather be in heaven where the devil can't touch me. I mean, he can't touch me here if I'm close to the Lord. But I'd rather be in heaven when this thing is over with. Now, if I have a spouse or a relative or kids that are not saved, I have to put my Lord, trust in the Lord that I can prove it, prove my point to them at that appointed time. Or I have to pray that they will get saved in the tribulation period. Now, how selfish is that? I can't do anything for anybody anymore, especially if this year is it. Now, what I'm hoping on is, you know, that God will give us another year. But I'm going to tell you this. That doesn't mean society is going to get any better. That doesn't mean the person you're hoping to get saved is going to get any better. The only thing that will make them better is for God to draw down by his Holy Spirit. That's about it. Because there's a good chance that they're not going to get better. Okay, they might just go towards the world even more. And if that happens, then we have to ask God for his Holy Spirit. Now, you guys can join me in the chat room. I've sort of been doing these shows out of the spur of the moment, just out of nowhere, and I've been doing these shows from out of nowhere, and they have been pretty good. Okay, it's when I don't do this. It's when I have, okay, I'm going to have the show on a certain day. You know, I'm okay, as far as archives, but a lot of times I get more people listening to the show is when I come out of nowhere. It's kind of weird. But no matter how you put, going back to what I was talking about, no matter how you put it, we living in some weird times, some dangerous times. And now here's why I believe that, this year could be it. And if not this year, definitely next year or the year after next. The further we go, as days come and go, I'm more convinced that we're closer to the day of the Lord's return. Now, the swine flu thing is supposed to get worse this fall, and I don't know, they're just blowing smoke up our butts like they did for the last 8 years with terrorist attacks or what. But one of these days they're gonna do what they say they're gonna do, and President Obama's approval rating is pretty low, so I don't know. Also, the bank holidays and and the supposedly vaccines that are going to be mandatory or maybe mandatory on October 16th, something like that, around that time period. And the Bible talks about the end times should come on people like a snare. It also talks about the day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night. It talks about just in the days of Noah, men were eating and drinking and giving in marriage, and then Noah went into the ark and God shut the door. It also talks about they were buying and selling and doing all these things until judgment came upon them. Now, it sounds like today, peaceful. Now, I used to believe that God would give us a whole bunch of warnings before he comes back for his church, and then the tribulation period starts. But I'm beginning to believe it's a one-day event, two-day event at the most. And the globalists want to send shock and awe to the people of this world anyway. Okay, so the globalists want to shock and awe or surprise us with an end-time shock that would shock us into a new world order. And this may come in the near future. Now, my compass, my prophetic compass will be completely off if something don't happen in the next couple of weeks. Because I won't have any idea what's going on. I would really have to go to the cross and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'll go ahead and have this radio program. We got 30 minutes remaining, so I want to change the subject and let's still talk about. I want y'all to listen to this Gerald Salin, Russian economist first, and then hopefully comes in loud and clear, and then I'll be back to talk about some more stuff.
Igor Nikolaevich, to one of your previous lectures, you've mentioned that the United States could be actually disintegrating in the near future. You made such theories about 10 years ago when the United States was a flourishing state. What are you basing your theories on?
In the light of today's crisis in the U.S., many people started talking about possible major changes in the country. But I expressed my concept back in September 1998 in Linz, Austria, at the Information War Conference. On the 9th of September, I produced a report with a very unusual ending. I kept the ending of my report secret from the other participants of the conference. A huge map of the United States appeared on a 40-meter screen. I pushed a button on my computer, and this map fell into six pieces. 400 people in the audience cried out in shock. Before the map fell apart, it had the disintegration of the USA in 2010 written on it. My statement got a huge response, but even to my surprise, many Americans and Europeans took my ideas very seriously. At the time, I emphasized the three main reasons which, in my opinion, could lead to the collapse of the US. The first one is the moral and psychological factor and the stress of the American population. The second one is the financial and economic problems. And the third one is the increase of anti-Americanism in the world.
Well, let's imagine the United States really start to fall out. How will this disintegration happen? And how many parts will the United States be divided then?
At that time, I expressed my concept. It would fall into six parts, and I backed it up with several factors. First of all, there were the ethnic, economic, and geographical factors. So we see a totally different ethnic group and ethnic interests. Texas and the Gulf of Mexico coast are a fuel and energy complex, the oil sector. California is Silicon Valley and high tech. Considering New York, Washington, and the Atlantic.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. I was reading the chat room. Some of the most weird people have... It's as if people are afraid to think on their own. When you attend a funeral, is it fun? I mean, when you really think about it, when you're trying to pick out a casket before you even have a funeral, is it fun to prepare for that? Is it fun for you and your wife? Now, the insurance policy is okay because it's sort of positive. Okay, I'm leaving money for my family. When you looking forward to dying rather than looking forward to going to heaven, you're going to die. If you die and you have no hope, you just return to the dust. Let's just be the advocate of the person who believes that we just return back to dust. What good was your life if you don't leave anything for anybody? These people crack me up, even with videos. I don't have the best videos on YouTube yet because I just can't find the time. I got my one-year-old son, and I'm just praying for the grace of God. But I even the comments that I do get are sometimes nasty. Now, I look at people who are on this earth, and these people are so keen to explain away, you know, what the Bible is saying, judgment is coming, these things might happen. And then they'll say, like, oh, these things might not happen, you might actually die. Yeah, and they're right. They're 100% right. But what if I'm right? One person in the chat room wrote that I might die before these things happen. Well, unless I die in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to heaven. Where are you going? Where are you going? And these people have the weirdest names. I mean, this person, and I'm not going to mention the name, but this person has a name, and I'm not going to take any advice from you at all. But thanks for helping me fix the mic, though. Hopefully, maybe you guys can come in loud and clear. But yeah, gotta look at the glass half full. It kills me that people love this world so much that they're willing to enjoy the potholes over the streets of gold. Well, I'm gonna tell you one thing: it might be some pie in the sky dream to you, but by just a little by faith. And I live in the faith that the Lord Jesus Christ will snatch me out of here. And yes, I do believe that human nature says if the building's burning down, you want to get out. If you're driving in the car, put your seatbelts on. That's why they tell you on the airplane, sit down, have a seat. We got turbulence. And when you're going down, before the plane even starts to move up in the air, they give you escape routes. You guys kill me when you say, well, the church needs to go to, we need a cleansing. Well, what was the cross for? We're putting it back on ourselves again. We're saying we need a cleansing. We need to go to the tribulation period. For what? You're saying you're limiting the cross now. You're saying the cross is worthless. That's what you're saying. What did he say to the church of Philadelphia? I should keep you out of the time of testing that is coming upon the whole earth, to test the whole earth. That's what he said. Now, he didn't say that the church of Laodicea. He said, I wish you were hot or cold. If you were hot or cool, that's great. You just need a little cooling off because you might be too overzealous. But God can work with that. He loves that. And if you're cold, robbing banks and stuff, God can get a hold of you quicker. But if you're right down in the center and you have no idea that you need a Savior, the Bible says you're rich and you're in need of nothing. You need of nothing because they're rich. Look at these prosperity preachers. Oh, I got me a limousine. I got me a this and this. Heck, I'm happy. Y'all need some blessings around here. Oh, no, you don't. And this guy has no idea he's going to blow hell wide open. Like, some of y'all might believe that Billy Graham is on the right track, but Billy Graham is, I'm going to get a video, I'm going to download some of what he said about Jesus being the only way. He doesn't believe Jesus is the only way. He spent all that time, all those years preaching the gospel, all those tiring days where your feet hurt and you just want to go lay down and you're lonely and you have to go, all those days, he spent all those days and he's finally in his 80s, 90s, I don't know how old he is, now he renounced God. I'll get it on my next show and put it on my, and then we'll go from there. But this show is almost over just that quick. But I don't need anybody to tell me anything that the Bible can't tell me. I had a preacher tell me that here I am, an ex-alcoholic. And he knows I'm an ex-alcoholic, so he tells me, he says, you know, you can drink. That's fine. I mean, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says you can drink. And the argument is actually true to a certain extent, to a certain point. But if these are the last days, I sure don't need to be, I should be the last one trying to drink something. And you don't tell somebody who had struggles with drinking to do it because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. So you people out there who have preachers, even though you love your preacher, you still need to read your word and rely on God to let and guide you. And I'm talking about a very nice person, very blessed person in the Lord. He's still saved. This preacher I know is still saved. However, for him to tell somebody who used to drink that it's okay to, you know, sometimes drink, or he don't see any argument in it, I see the argument all over the place. I know what alcohol does to me, personally. For me to have to hit the bottle because I had an issue or I can't handle a certain problem is saying that I don't need God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come unto me, all ye of heavy burden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. God is telling me that he's my comforter. I don't need the bottle to comfort me. I don't need to make justice. The Bible says make more provision for the flesh. It says be sober. For the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may destroy. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So here I am sitting up here drinking a 40 ounce or a beer, telling y'all hallelujah, Jesus is coming soon. How does that look? And I still love this preacher with my heart, but at the same time, it makes you wonder. What he said to me makes you wonder. It makes you test the spirits. Make sure they have God. Now, why would God want me to drink? Now, it says in the Bible that I'm not going to try to misquote this one. I'm going to try to say it accurately. I got to remember where it's at. It says, it's in, let me see, Proverbs 31. Let me look. My Bible, if y'all looked at my Bible, y'all would completely just shake your head. Say, wow. But Proverbs 31, I think it was Proverbs 31, I was looking at it the other day. And it was talking about, wherever I saw it, was talking about, it says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. And wine unto those that be heavy hearted. So it's saying that wine may have stopped a lot of suicides. Well, it ain't saying that, but that's just my interpretation. That getting drunk, that might have kept people from killing themselves. Of course, being drunk might have caused a lot of suicides too, but more towards helping people than not. When you're sad, And it says to those who are perishing. So when the Holy Spirit can't do it for you, and you're not saved, and you're perishing, go ahead and, well, the Bible ain't telling you to go ahead and get drunk. It was just saying hypothetically that's a way that people get away from the sorrows of the world. They draw into this closet of alcoholism, and then they, because I'm a former person who used to hit the bottle because I have certain problems. Now I have to go to God, the Lord Jesus, to get me to this point. But people crack me up, and I need to pray heavily for this show, because even if this show was to take off, I would still have to worry about. Especially the chat room. Now I'm starting to get people in the chat room to just weirdos. That's when you know you're doing God's will. After a while, you have to begin doing God's will that these people have even spot you. That they even find you on Blog Talk Radio. I don't know what's going on around this house. It's like 11:14 and somebody has the TV up as loud as all outdoors. And I'm trying to wonder why. But if we are headed towards some obvious pains in this society, America's about to be judged for her love of killing babies. This person on my website say we kill children. I don't know what that name come from. And if that's not demonic, I don't know what is. And I just don't know if this person has any idea of what that means and in God's eyes. God is going to bring judgment against this nation. WeKillChildren.org. Now, if that's some reverse ethics or something, I'm going to go on there when I get done here and find out what this person's talking about. WeKillChildren.org. Unless it's just a rock group or whatever. My name calls to mind the evil we commit. Now, maybe it's in reverse psychology. I don't know. Maybe it's something good that's, I don't know. I can't explain it. But this person has written that, and he says, good day. I think you'll die before what you expect to happen will happen. Maybe I do, because I got a terminal heart disease. And maybe I will, but to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But what are you going to be doing? Pretty soon, Jesus Christ will come back. We kill children. And for that purpose of killing children, like I said, I'm going to check your website out. And if I go in there and find out you defend children instead of killing them, I will, or you actually care about kids, and I'll apologize. But until then, I'm not going to apologize. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to go there right now and check it out and let you guys know what this person's motives are. WeKillChildren.com. I'm hoping that somebody's not that stupid to I got to put this phone down for a second. Hold on for a second. I don't know if y'all still can hear me. As I think about my little baby, one-year-old kid, when I think about this, and it's, I don't know if I spelled it right or what. Hold on for a second. Well, anyway, time will tell if Jesus is going to intervene back in history in the next coming years or months. I'll say days, months, and years. Time will tell. And I don't know why that didn't copy. But time will tell if Jesus is going to come back in the next couple of time period that we're living in. Like I said, I can't chew gum and walk at the same time. I can't do things on the, unless I had some type of a mic. I'm going to get back the premium package and try, because the last time I got the premium package, I had a lot of static, and that's not good. Now, let me talk to y'all right quick about your eternal state. Now, here's the deal on this. If you hear a Christian talk about heaven or hell, and let's say, for instance, you're listening to it on this side of life, and let's say you don't believe a word that that person says. Okay, and you say, okay, I don't believe that there is a heaven or a hell. I just don't believe it. Okay, and then let's just say that, God forbid, you were in an automobile accident and you die. Now, if the Christians are right, you can't come back. There is no purgatory. You don't come back as a mosquito or a dead cow or a cow that's going to be slaughtered for some meat. You don't come back as a Bigfoot. Matter of fact, you don't come back as anything. Matter of fact, you don't even sleep like everybody thinks you might sleep, or just like you're in non-existence. Because, believe it or not, actually, I apologize to WeKillChildren.com. Actually, it's pretty, we're right up the same alley, buddy. I apologize for that. I see what you're talking about. So, if you guys have a chance, go on WeKillChildren.com and check it out, because actually he's trying to make a point that we kill kids, and we don't look at it that way. We just look at it as abortion. It's just a assembly line that kills children. So you get a chance, go on that and check it out. Okay, so I'm going to, for the remaining time, talk to y'all about what we need to think about as far as our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny is very important. Don't let the Christians be right. I say, well, I thought there was a lot of hypocrites in the church, and I thought that there were people that were, you know, cheating on their wives and all this other stuff, and that's why I didn't never come to you, God. I mean, you're going to still send me to hell? Basically. Just like my pastor, I listen to my pastor, but I also have to read the Word of God and make sure he's coming off of what the Word of God is saying. Since my people perish for lack of knowledge. He's also talking about the unsaved. The unsaved people perish for lack of knowledge. The knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God. Now, the Bible is the correct word of God. We're going to find out. You're either going to find out in this life or the life to come. You're going to find out sooner or later. Now, Jesus provided a way out on the cross. He died for our sins. We all have free will. We can say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. That's the beauty of the creation of man. That's the difference between us and animals. We have a free will. God says to whoever which is called, that we respond, I will save them. If you confess with your mouth and believe your heart. Now, believing is not just a surface belief. It's a heart belief. Now, if you believe that Jesus is your God, you're going to keep his commandments. Okay, if you believe that Jesus is your God, you're going to love the brethren. Now, you might have some beef, and God is going to bring it to life with your brethren. You might have some things that are off kilter, but God is going to bring it to life. Remember, we're not perfect. We're not perfect people. If we were perfect, then we wouldn't need the cross. We wouldn't need anything to do with God. We will go through the tribulation period. Now, the people who are going to be left behind are people who did not put God first. They did not surrender to him, his leadership in their lives. They did not care. They did not keep his commandments. They did not love the brethren. Something's off kilter. Something's off focus. Something's not there that should be focused. The common salvation that Jude talked about. We should surrender our lives to Jesus and only him only. He should be our Lord of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He should be our all in all. If Jesus is not our everything, then we have nothing. These things that we care about so much on this planet or not, we would not be able to take it with us. How many people have you seen that was buried in a pit full of jewelry and rings and video games and CDs and things like that? We need to put God first in our lives. We need to listen for the voice of the Lord, that he would tell us the right things to do. He would guide us into the way that we should go. God is our God. Nobody else should follow. Nobody else should be our God. I mean, there are a lot of people, parents, that actually think their kids are their gods. And I know that's a weak thing coming from somebody who's strongly against abortion. But I don't think your kids should be your God. If your kid starts acting up, if you got your whole total focus on him or her just before Jesus Christ comes back, guess what? You're going to be here with them in the tribulation period. Well, that's a mean thing to say. Well, the Bible says in Luke 21 that do not be tied down with the cares of this life, but that day over day, and that Thessalonians says that day overtakes you as a thief. The Bible says pray, be sober. Then be careful of pastors telling you you can drink. When a pastor tells you you can drink, then something's going on. He said, I'm not saying that boastfully because I have to watch myself too. But I can say the same thing for me. Especially when you already say, well, I decided to go and you know, grab a beer and taste it and see how it tastes, and I just don't see a reason why to drink. And then that person comes and says, well, I don't see any problem with it in the Bible. Then I have problems with that person. Because if you're going to do the work of the Lord, how do I look like drinking, telling you guys what I believe? How can I see Jesus Christ coming back? How can I tell y'all about things that are going on in the world when I'm sitting up here drinking, swigging on the beer? Now, the majority of Americans are hitting the bottle, you know, and we need to pray for America. I had on my description Ezekiel 38 and 39. I sort of just went on, and I respond to it very little. And the next show I will. I'm going to have a show on Thursday. I'm going to try to invite people to come out and listen. I might even tape it, but then the last 20 minutes have callers. If there are any callers to call in, I'm going to try to piece it together and try to take it from the outside and bring it in. So and probably section it and put it in sections and pieces. But I'm planning on having a show on Thursday night, maybe at 7. Take that back. My son has a football game, believe it or not. I forgot about that. But God be with everybody out there. I pray that you guys will listen to what I was saying, that we only got one shot to make a decision. They are people who have passed away and died already who wish they can come back and tell their family, just like the rich man and Lazarus. He wished that Lazarus can go tell that he can get out of the grave. That's what it said, that he can get out of the grave and go warn his family. Now, we don't know if he's just trying to get out because he's in pain and he just want a break, and he going to warn his family just, you know, with getting out or what. But God, pray for this country for the next couple of days, months, and years. Especially for the next couple of days, because we never know when the Son of Man should crack the skies. God bless everybody. Y'all have a wonderful day. God bless.